Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest has been here before, and he's back. Jacques Santucci, president of Opus Consulting. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, it's going to be great. Well, we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic, and that's HR cannabis. That is a topic.
Yeah, I think we talked about it, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh, it was maybe six years ago, I think. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And things have changed so much and are still changing so fast. So I'm glad I'm back here to kind of give you an update.
Yeah, no, it's really, really good. So let's start with a basic thing. Tell me like an overview of the state of the industry. Tell me what's happening today and why it's so different than what it used to be.
Yeah, so it's going very, very fast. I think last time we talked about this topic, most people were talking about medical cannabis, medical marijuana. Now we use the term cannabis more than marijuana. For sure, we don't want to use pot, things like this, because it's becoming a real industry. The recreational adult use market is growing. 39 states now have legalized cannabis in some form. 19 have what we call recreational. A few are on the ballot in November. A couple of states are right now opening, like New York, the state of New York. Connecticut is expanding. So the market is growing. You know, it's expected that 2021 was estimated at $27 billion of consumer spend on cannabis products, forecasted at $38 billion by 2024. So it's growing very fast, no pun intended here. And it's not entirely just flower. Most people think about cannabis as flower being smoked. And it's less and less the case, probably less than 40% now, for sure less than 50%, but let's say 40 to 50%, depending on the states, depending on the regulations, are flower-based product. The rest is concentrate, extract of sorts, other kind of edibles, gummies, and things like this.
Well, it's also the industry is growing in just the fact that it's also the production, the manufacturing, the retail. There's so much else that is growing with cannabis. It's incredible, really, when you think about where it started.
Yeah, absolutely. It started as a activist-based industry, you know, years ago, and now it's turning into a real business-oriented. Not that everybody wants to hear this, but that's the direction it's going. I mean, you have to think that the cannabis industry is probably bigger than Starbucks. So, you know, if you compare to, you know, what we all know, right, Starbucks is probably smaller at this point. And then you look at the cigarette industry, right? Cannabis is becoming probably 50% of the cigarette industry. So, and it's catching up. It's becoming all over us, and it's creating new type of customers. You know, there's a little bit of a myth around who are the consumers, but if you think about, you know, people who have sleep issues or stress issues and things like this, those are the new customers coming to the cannabis industry.
However, Jacques, it's still illegal federally. And this is an interesting dilemma when you really think about it. And, you know, I certainly have talked to a number of people in the industry, and that's probably the biggest holdback still.
Yes, it's still illegal. And somehow I hope it's not going to become legal too soon, because I don't think the industry is ready just yet. But it's still illegal, which creates a lot of challenges, particularly around banking and taxes. and you know, banking, because a lot of banks are FDIC insured, and the F I think is for federal, and so
yes,
it kind
it
of
is.
create a little bit of an issue right there. And then IRS rule 280E is actually not helping the cannabis industry, as most business legal cannabis businesses cannot take the regular deductions. They can only take the cost of good deduction, which means that a business that may be losing money because of operating expenses is actually running a profit on the tax return, and they're paying taxes on losses. So it's got a lot of disadvantage on top of you know, access to consumer, right? Still have the stigma about being federally illegal and creating issues about, you know, finding spaces, finding employees. It's not just yet a regular industry.
No, and it continues to be a challenge for all those reasons or factors. But from an HR perspective, you brought up the staffing and you brought up some of those issues. I mean, it's obviously something that's been going on for a while. You know, let's back up for a second. You mentioned certainly about the fact that you actually hope it doesn't become federally legal too fast because, you know, the industry isn't ready. What are some of the state challenges that are really still in this growing industry? Is it experiencing incredible growing pains?
Yeah, it's got a lot of growing pains for sure. We mentioned earlier, and we can continue that conversation. The industry is just not retail, right? It's agriculture, right? It's horticulture. You're growing some flowers, but it's also extraction. It's also manufacturing of products. It's so there's a little bit of science. You get packaging, you get logistics, and then you get wholesale. And I think to your question, one of the issue right now, if it was to become legal at this point, is the interstate commerce, right? So that means, why would you grow cannabis in the northern part of the U.S. and you want to ship your product to California or from California to Florida, right? It's long distance. So most likely, you would think that the companies will start getting towards the middle or where the weather is better. So if it was to become legal, that would create a wholesale logistic kind of a nightmare in the interstate commerce. But the fact that it's also probably would create a staffing issue, because you gotta, you know, you gotta find the right education, the right staff wherever the company is going to decide to go. So I think to me that's one of the first, outside of banking and taxes, where, you know, legalization at the federal level will resolve. The other part is the interstate commerce, I think, would create so much challenges to companies that are really pretty fairly new, right? Some of them are just 1 or 2 years old. Most of them, they're barely 5 years old, which is not enough, you know, for an industry to be mature.
We're talking with Jacques Sanducci, president of Opus Consulting. Of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and I'm your host, David Chulo, Educational HR Radio. Jacques, you and I have had conversations before about the industry, and you told me, and it's still obviously true, that this is a lot of small companies trying to fight in the marketplace. And also there's some consolidation beginning to happen. I think before we get into obviously the HR challenges, which there are plenty, what is this causing for problems just in all this uncertainty between all the different locations?
Yes. Yeah, it's a very good question. So at Opus, we do business consulting, business performance, and we help companies, you know, from the beginning to the end on the life cycle. And I've been, so we don't only do legal cannabis, but I've been in the cannabis industry now for 10 years. And now I'm starting to see, you know, the other side of the cycle, right? They're all new companies, and, you know, having the right business model has been very difficult, I think, for some of those companies that are trying to achieve a certain level, right? It's a little bit like in the industry, right? If you want to be a small business and you can survive, you know, a few employees, you know, you have your challenges, but you're probably less at risk than other companies that are trying to be at a bigger level. And that's where the challenges are at, for the cannabis industry. It's growing fast. The regulation is changing very fast. Each state has different type of issues. So
the other thing is you work with not only local businesses, but you will work with bigger entities such as Indian reservations and different things. Talk a little bit about, not even locally, but just as a whole, what are you seeing from a national perspective in this area?
At a national level, we're starting to see too much product and a decrease of prices. So I was looking at some numbers in Michigan this morning. It's already the case in Massachusetts. Markets that opened 2, 3, 4 years ago, operations or production facilities that opened in the past couple of years, they started to produce more without kind of a good intel or a good plan on what the market's going to bear. And now you have too much product on the market. The wholesale prices are coming down. It's good for the consumer somehow, but it's creating a lot of challenges because the companies were not set up that way. So we're starting to see some states where companies are starting to fail. You know, the margin are decreasing. The fixed costs are too high. So that's one of the issues. Michigan, again, you know, Massachusetts, Colorado, California, Washington State, Oregon, they all went through that cycle. And then on the other side, you get states that are just starting, like New York, New Jersey. New York doesn't even have licenses yet, but there's a lot of activity there. Connecticut just issued some adult use markets. So those are going to be the new markets that probably in 4 or 5 years from now will go through the same cycle, right? Too much product on the market. Although you have to hope that the company is going to learn from the other states and will avoid the same mistakes.
You can only hope they learn from them, others, right? You know, I hate to say that, but having done this enough, sometimes they don't. And that's an unfortunate part of the cycle. Absolutely.
Well, you got to keep in mind, I mean, Massachusetts, the wholesale price went down like 50% in 12 months. So it's a big jump.
That's huge.
That's enough to remember, you know, if you operate in a few states, enough to remember in 2 years from now, you don't want to do it again.
No. You know, before as we wrap up this first segment, you mentioned it, the medical versus recreational use. Is there a difference in how that's operated?
At the end, it's the same product. It might be marketed a little bit differently, maybe packaged a little bit differently. More education around the medical. The patient for a medical dispensary, for a medical product, will require more education about how much they need to use, right? The doctors are not yet set to tell people, take 2 of these or 3 of those, right? One in the morning, they can't do that. So there's a little bit of self-medication.
Self-medication, yeah.
Yeah, self-medication. And so the education part is very important. Adult use, it's a little bit like the, you know, like coffee shop industry, right? You come in, you know what you want, you get your product and you go. So those are the big difference. At the end, branding is probably more important on the adult use than it is on the medical, although, you know, needs to be proven. I think, but the product is more or less the same.
No, that makes a lot of sense. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the second segment here. And we'll be right back on the HR Power Hour. News Talk, WLB 100.5 FM. And we'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than 7 generations of legal expertise. with more than 130 attorneys across 7 offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest is Jacques Santucci. He is the president of Opus Consulting, and we're talking about HR cannabis. Woo! I got to tell you, this is an interesting topic. I'm sure it's going to get a lot of attention, but you know, with all the changes you talked about in the first segment, I am sure there are all sorts of HR challenges that are happening in the cannabis industry. And one of the things that I find interesting is the fact is, let's start with the fact that they don't even really think they need it.
Yes, for sure. Yes, it's the HR part is a real struggle for the industry. And what we found out is that you got to keep in mind that the industry is coming from an activist standpoint, right? It's only becoming really a business-oriented industry now. And even me saying this, I know some listeners are not going to be okay with what I'm saying. But you know, it's not anymore a garage-based industry, right? There's big companies that people rely on those companies to have a family, right? To have a job. And the HR part of the industry has been a little bit neglected over the past few years. It's changing thanks to people like you and your listeners, but it's been neglected.
Yeah, no, I understand that. So let's go down some of the challenges that it's faced. Let's first start with the basics. You talked a little bit about the different parts: production, manufacturing, retail, wholesale, growing, right? All the different areas. Are you seeing that the employers, the owners of these, are starting to understand the need for what is a proper way to run a business from an HR
yes.
perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep in mind that with all the new states and the new companies that I've mentioned, right, a little bit earlier, that means there's a lot more employees, right? I think there's 430,000 jobs related to cannabis right now in the country. It's like probably a third more than it was a year ago. It's like about 200 and something jobs created every day. So, you know, I think there's probably more people working in the cannabis industry than there's firefighters or air stylists or something like this, right? So now you realize, okay, we got to take care of our employees. And so it's just starting to happen now that companies are realizing, well, I've got to pay them better with benefits and create a corporate culture. And that was, some companies were doing it a few years ago, but with the more professionalism coming in the industry, it's becoming a topic.
No, it certainly is. And, part of the challenges is just getting the systems. I know some of the payroll companies and some of the technology companies and have been afraid in some cases because, again, the federal impact of not necessarily getting into this type of industry.
Yes. Yeah. So the major payroll processors don't want to touch cannabis companies. So, in one sense, right, it's legal at the state level. You're talking about a company that, just like any other companies, got all the SOPs in place and things like this, got a state license, but at the federal level, it's not really recognized. So, big payroll processors or benefit providers, they have government contracts and, they don't really want to touch it. Some are connected with banks. So then again, they don't want to touch it. So, granted, though, the past few years, some people like you and I thought about how can we help clients, and there are now payroll processors. You can find them, but not everybody knows how to do it. Not everybody knows how to find them. But there's a lot of systems too. There's a little bit too many systems, and because of the rapid growth of the industry and the fast startup phase of those companies, they sometimes don't even take the time to look at what systems do I need? What am I looking for? And they tend to go too fast on too many systems, and they end up having a maze of systems between how to track the hours and how to do the benefits and how to do the 401k and how to process the payroll. And at the end, it becomes more of a nightmare than it should be.
Well, that's biggest challenge is just in general understanding what they need. And you mentioned it before, you're taking industries that have been on the activist side and trying to move them into mainstream, right? And mainstream businesses. And that has its own challenges with it. And I certainly know that one of the things you've mentioned before is the fact that they need more data. They need to be more data driven on what's actually happened. And they don't, and many of them still today don't have that data.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, and we see it all the time with our clients, not enough data, not looking at enough about the different type of jobs and trying to gather the data from their employees and from what they need, even, trying to match the employees with the level of businesses. And those are the challenges that they're all going through.
We also mentioned in regards to just the fact of them trying to figure out what they need. And so job descriptions, for example, which seems so simple for most HR professionals, become a little more complicated in this area. And explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's becoming complicated because some companies came a little bit from the black market, right? And so where some people were just growing before without the license. And at that point, they all know what they need to do. And then you get a license and you kind of, going on, in the light, and you have to be set up like any other companies. And so you realize that they never thought about having a job descriptions. And then now they have to hire people that were not working with them before because they're going from two or three people to 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 people. And before you know it, there's a misalignment between the employee who is very into the company. They want to do the right thing. And the management who doesn't take the time to, bring them along on their journey. And the job description is where it should happen, right? The corporate culture too, and spending time with the employees to explain to them what's happening. So we see it very often where the job description is either doesn't exist or is very incomplete. And then the misalignment with the employees is growing. And of course, it creates people that are not very happy with their job.
You're listening to Jackson Tusi, president of Opus Consulting, on the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo. We're talking about HR cannabis and the challenges in the industry today. You mentioned about staffing and recruiting. I chuckle a little because I think to myself, so Anna, but just think, I can think about the ads that just could be out there, and we've had a drink or two over that kind of conversation, but you know, it's a funny thing to be advertising, especially when it's still not, there's acceptance, but there isn't. Talk about that a little. It's a challenge sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. No. It is a challenge, you know. So, and you know, that's why I'm glad to be on the call here because, you know, I'm trying to get the stigma out of the industry. It is, be, you know, it's become it's a professional industry, right? You go to those conferences, and you know, you get 25, 30,000 people at a conference, right? Trying to grow the business, and in the same time, you're trying to hire people, and they don't take it seriously. And I mean, it's less the case now because everybody's reading about it and then understanding that it can be an opportunity. We all know the challenges of hiring people these days. So, right, it becomes a bigger opportunity for some people. But it is a challenge. Yes, it is a challenge. And you know, I've done a lot of interviews, right, job and hiring interviews, and. And on the one side, you have a company that's trying to hire somebody who's professional, who's going to do a best job, dedicated to the company. And then on the other side, you get an employee that says, "Oh, the only reason I want to work here because it's cannabis." And you're like, "Well, wait a second, you still have a job to do." And so there's also a misalignment between the expectation of the potential hire and the expectation of the company. So I think those are gonna, you know, settle down, or they're gonna find their, you know, their balance over time. But it is, hiring has been a challenge.
So let's talk about that a little, because I think HR professionals would love to hear about, you know, what really happens in regards to hiring in the industry. So, for example, you know, a lot of people, well, you know, are they always high? Are they always impaired? How,
Yeah.
this is the perception, right? You're selling it. You know, it's kind of like, do they smoke it during break or do they ingest it during break or do these things? And I'm not just talking a retail environment, but even at the warehouses or other areas. So talk to a little bit about that because I think there is a misconception out there.
Oh, yes, there's a misconception. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some companies that are very loose on that kind of things. Most of the company that I see or that we work with, it's not the case, right? There's no smoking in between breaks. Actually, for growth sites, you actually don't even want people to smoke tobacco, because tobacco sometimes has agents that, when you bring them inside the growth site, can bring some bacteria. But that's more of a detail. But in general, you know, you're looking at a company that where people have to change in scrubs when they come in. They have to wear air nets and gloves. That's for the production side. You know, most states now are asking them to adopt GMP standards. So the cannabis industry doesn't have too much standards. It's just coming, but we're trying to get, you know, the general manufacturing standards. And same for the retail, right? You don't want your employees to be impaired. So sure, is there a culture? Yeah, of course there is a culture. It's also depend on the retail culture, right? Some retails are not at all cannabis oriented, although they're selling the product. Some are a little bit more on the cannabis culture that everybody can think about. But in general, you know, it has to become very professional. You know, there's no impaired employees, because you know, in a retail store, you actually want them to find out if the customer is impaired, just like in the bar, right? You have a duty to make sure that your customers are you know, well treated, right? And they're not doing anything, you know, crazy on their own. So that means the professional, the staff has to be very professional.
And this also goes to background checks, right? You know, what are there background checks for these type of industries? I know there are, but you know, tell us a little bit about that.
So every state is different. Somehow, though, they're going towards all the same direction. Very, very heavy on compliance at every level. Plant tracking, packaging tracking. Same for employees. Employees have to. Most states have to. Employee have to have a card. So to you know, so a state card. And the card goes through a background checks and you know, fingerprinting, you know, based background checks. And then when they're approved, then they can start working and handle cannabis products.
So the state has to approve every employee that works in the industry.
Yes, Maine, Massachusetts. Yeah, actually, every state that I know for licensed operators. Yes, the employees are all licensed by the state.
And that is I don't think most people know that, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I mean, if you go to an adult use store in Maine or Massachusetts, they should have around their neck a card that is shows their state license.
No, it makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before on the hiring side about pay levels. And of course, they're competing like everybody else on pay. Compensation becomes a little interesting for that in terms of what they are paid. Is it really looking at it from a general industry perspective? This is probably not a lot of data yet on the other.
No, there's not too much data, although there's two or three HR cannabis platforms out there, and they're gathering information. But it looks like the hourly wage is higher than the average of other industries. And I think the idea, that's my own interpretation, is that you're looking at retail or manufacturing employees that need to have some specific knowledge and education. So I think it looks like it's a little bit more. The average of what we call a bud tender or a trimmer or harvester is between, you know, $14 and $23 an hour. So it seems a little bit higher than other industries. In general, though, I think the industry makes a big difference on the lack of benefits. And I'm hoping that that's something that's going to change. But going back to what we were saying earlier, from the statistics that we have, only 72% of the companies in the cannabis industry offer PTO. And, you know, it's slow. And I think it's coming from the fact that, you know, that industry was activist based before, where, you know, PTO is probably not as much as a requirement, right? Because it's more of a lifestyle than it is an industry. Same for health and medical insurance, right? 71% only offer medical insurance. So there's still some work to do there. The one that is, I think we're going to see change a lot is the 401k. Only a third of the cannabis companies offer a 401k. Match or no match, that's not even the question. And I think that comes back from the banking issue, where I think it's not easy to find a 401k provider. And probably also some companies don't know how to find a 401k providers. But I think those three things are going to help with the hiring by offering, you know, sure, competitive pay, but also more benefits.
We're talking with Jacques Santucci. He is the president of Opus Consulting. We're talking about cannabis HR, and we'll be right back on the HR Power Hour News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. Again, we'll be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
In a recent survey, investors shared what they felt were the greatest threats to their retirement. It's no surprise the most common threats include stock market volatility, economic uncertainty, conflict in the Middle East. Unfortunately, there are many threats beyond your control that can affect your retirement savings. At Goldco, a leader in precious metals, the team believes one way to protect your investment portfolio is with physical gold and silver. Goldco will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. No obligation. 100% free. Call 855-971-2006 to get your free silver American Eagle coin.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish, Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Today, we're talking with Josh Santucci. He is the president of Opus Consulting. We're talking about cannabis HR. Shock, tell us why HR should move into this industry and help clean it up.
That's the real question. I just like any other growing industry, fast changing industry, there's a lot of challenges all over the place, and HR is one of them. Why would an HR professional want to go to the cannabis industry? You have to like challenges. You have to like things that are changing all the time. You have to admit a little bit of craziness and a lack of logic. Every state is different. Every company is different. The owners of the company come from a very entrepreneurial side of business. So if somebody is willing to adapt, then HR professionals have a lot of opportunity in the cannabis industry. Job description writing, finding better benefits, advising on HR and payroll platforms, retention is a big one. It's changing a lot. On the retail store, every 4, 5, 6 months, you lose people. Training, a lot of training is needed. So just right there, right? You get so many opportunities, and so it's good. The challenge here is, catching up very fast with an industry that is actually changing faster. And because it's a new industry, I don't think you can use the methods that you would be using for an existing company, an existing industry with bigger companies, right? You have to hold the hands of a lot of young companies that have started just 6, 9, 12 months ago. So that's a little bit of the challenge.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an entrepreneurial mindset for the HR professional as well. So they can come in and they can adapt, modify. They have to become a true business partner with the current owners and the leadership teams that are there. They have to really, you know, build up that trust and value and work to get to yes, even though, you know, it would seem an impossible possibility. So I think that's the exciting part, is that you get to build something with an owner that's also learning how to build something. That's an exciting part.
Yeah, you got to create the trust. I mean, so at Opus, right, we do business strategy and we actually now work on distressed assets and we help people, you know, get off the ground or continue their growth. But we also design facilities, right? Not from a architectural standpoint, but more from a workflow business standpoint. And you cannot imagine the number of projects we looked at. And the locker is the size of a shoebox. Like, well, you're going to have 30 employees in the back there, right? Or 40 employees in the back there that they have to change. And your lockers are just a closet. That's not going to work. And your employee break room is only two chairs. That's not going to work. And how are you going to do this? And so that's where, you know, those HR related issue come from, because obviously at some point, right, if people can change, they can have a break and things like this. And so the reaction from the owner is, well, I don't have enough space, right? I want to keep as much space as I want to produce whatever they're producing. That's where the trust comes in, and how you have to show people and explain to the business owner, well, you know, we're talking long term here, right? You may be only five people today. Your plan is talking about 20 people. Let's build the corporate culture and the structure for, you know, 20, 25, 30 people.
Yeah, that's the key, I think, is really from the ground up. And that may be exciting for some professionals who want to get into that. You know, if you're someone who is just staying in a steady Eddie role, this may not be the perfect solution for you in terms of the HR side, right? It's coming. Right. That's coming. Yes. But we're not at that point together. You know, Jacques, do you have a good story about success where HR helped an organization, or where you've seen with your consulting, HR strategy has helped an organization pull things together and really help them either grow the industry or solve some problems?
Yes. So I've got a lot of funny stories. You know, I thought about writing a book about HR stories. You know, we've seen, you know, employees going on the ground and not moving for 10 minutes without even using the product, but because there was the time for them just to chill. And you have to explain to them that, you know, it's probably not the right place to do it. And, you know, we had some, people stealing and trying to explain to people that, you know, they have an employee discount and they don't need to steal, you know, $10, you know, of product. You know, we can, you know, there's other ways to do it. And I think the in the project that we worked on, and the one that ended up being bigger companies, I always invested in good HR professionals. There's, you know, two or three people that I work with that really understood how to create a corporate culture and understand the different type of employees. So when you have a company that is, you know, 80 to 100 employees, and that goes from production to retail and corporate, you got six or seven or even more type of people, right? And having an HR professional that understand how to, you know, the reviews and create the, you know, summer barbecue and create the connection between the departments is very important. And so trying to come up with a story I can tell you that I think it's the cannabis industry is going to have more and more, you know, human resource people director type of level as the companies are growing.
Chuck, you know, one of the last things I want to talk about in this segment has to do with the culture, the company culture.
Yeah.
And you mentioned it a lot through the program in general. And of course, the industry has a stigma when it comes to culture.
Yes. Correct.
And so how do you see that change? How does it really, you know, it always starts at the top. But the reality is it starting from the top or is it groundswell underneath coming up to make that change?
No, I think it's going to have to come from the top. And also it's going to depend on the type of companies, right? If it's a small, you know, you can compare the cannabis industry a little bit to the brewery industry, right? Like in a few years, we'll see companies that are just like, you know, Boston Beer, right? Like Sam Adams or companies or Coors, right? Companies like this. And then you're going to have the microbrewery down the street. And the HR related challenges will be very different. And actually, it's good to make that comparison because, you know, Corona and Boston Beer and all those companies, they already invested in the cannabis industry. They see it as an extension of their current industry. And so the culture, if you look at the culture of a beer company, right, the people are not drunk all day long, right? And none of us will think that the CEO or the owner of a microbrewery is, you know, drunk all day long. But for whatever reason, we still think that the cannabis professional has to be high all day long. That is fading away. That is fading away. And it's going to change from the top. It's going to change by having people, you know, writing articles in papers and talking to us like we're doing now, showing that the cannabis industry is just handled by professionals who are taking a risk in a federally legal industry, but state legal.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Car is a wreck and you don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust and it won't be a fuss.
Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home, sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot, driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe, put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, Educational HR Radio. As a reminder, the HR Power Hour is not only on HRPowerHour.com, WLOB Radio, but it's also podcast nationally on all major podcast channels. Please listen, like, share, and learn. We appreciate it very, very much. Today, our guest is Jacques Santucci. He is the president of Opus Consulting. We're talking about cannabis HR. And, you know, Jacques, the one thing we haven't talked about as we wrap this up today is the social equity side of the cannabis industry. Give us kind of a feel for that.
Yeah, so that's a big push from a lot of states and from the industry trying to bring some equity in the industry. So there's different ways of looking at the social equity. One thing that I'm trying to remind people is that 20 years ago, a kid with a small joint in the pocket got arrested somewhere in New York and is maybe still in prison or spent 5 years in prison. And right now, that same kid can have five as long as he's over 21 and is not going to get in trouble. And so people who ended up in prison because of cannabis and marijuana were coming from socially lowered neighborhoods, and most of the time, African American population. And so there's a big push to try to make this right. So the state of New York is giving the first licenses in New York are actually for social equity. And you have to show that you ended up in legal trouble because of cannabis, where you would not be now. And there's some organization like The Last Prisoner who are raising funds to help get people out of prison because they were in prison for small cannabis issues. So this is something that is the changes in the cannabis industry are helping that part of the population.
No, that's true. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've provided a lot of thought for HR professionals in regards to the industry and probably cleared up a lot of stigmas and misnomers about
it.
Really,
so.
That's the key here, right, is to drive some information out there.
Yeah.
Jacques, we're happy to have you come back on the show as this industry continues to bloom and blossom.
Yeah, and I encourage every HR professionals to go to a cannabis trade show or conference and maybe, walk down to the adult use recreational store to look, by yourself and realize the opportunity that's in front of us.
No, that's great, Jacques.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.